Well, it's good to be here with you today. Look into the book of Psalms, Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I had originally intended to preach one message, and I had it all ready. It's still ready. It's laying on my desk. Friday night at Bible study or prayer meeting time, the Lord just began to deal with me, and He did all day yesterday. This is just the passage that He has laid on my heart for this time. Also, I might also add that three or four of you have encouraged me today to be short. Even during a testimony, we were accused of being long-winded. I don't know if y'all picked that up or not, but the preacher did. I appreciate that, brother. I will remember that. You know, deacons are not the authority of the church, don't you? Yeah, it's a good thing. And then, just before I come up, Jan whispered to me, "You know, you got to keep it short, don't you?" She used to say, "Kiss" every time I would get up to preach. And I always thought, well, that's sweet, isn't it? I mean, to be an encouragement and that. And she said, "Kiss." No, she didn't give me a kiss. She said, "Kiss." And, I told her one day, I said, "Well, sweetheart, I'm keeping it as simple as I can. I mean, keep it simple, stupid." And she said, "That's not what it means." And I said, "Well, what does it mean?" She said, "It means keep it short, stupid." So I'm really going to try to do that today, because I realize this is a long service and y'all's reservations at the restaurant will get thrown aside. And, first church I pastored, I had a dear lady in there. In fact, she was a deacon's wife. And the second Sunday after I preached, she came by and she told me, she said, "Now, Brother Lacey, there's something you need to understand." And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Before I leave home, I cook lunch. And I set the stove just exactly to where we will be home at 12 o'clock. And she said, if you go over, that means Shelby's lunch is going to burn." And I said, "Did you set it this morning?" And it was about 12:30 then. And I said, "Did you set it this morning?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "You probably won't take him to a restaurant today. And if I hear that again, you might want to take him to a restaurant every Sunday, because from now on, I will preach for an hour every Sunday if you tell me that again." She never mentioned it again. I don't think she ever turned that fire just right. So I hope your fire's not set just right at home. Because if it is, you may be a little bit late today. But I do want to talk to you a few moments about leadership. You know, a church will never go any farther than the leaders take it. And that is true with any organization. Why do you think these companies spend millions of dollars to train their leaders? And literally, they just go to seminars to learn how to be better leaders. But you know, to be a good leader, you got to have somebody that's going to follow you. It's very difficult to lead and nobody come along with you. So this is not just a message to those that are being ordained and to those that have been ordained and to the pastor today. This is the message to each one of you, because you should not expect anything out of the leadership that you are not willing to give yourself. And the leader should not expect anything out of you that they are not willing to do themselves. And I think that is exactly what David is talking about in this passage of Scripture this morning. He is talking about worship. He's talking about the praise of our God. He's talking about coming together and being united together in one spirit, one mind, one heart in the presence of a holy God. And as we come together, we're to worship Him. And folks, listen to me for a moment. The leadership of a church must lead out in worship, just like they lead out in every other aspect of the church. I want you to see now what Paul says, or what David says here. I'm back over in the New Testament now. I've got to get back to the Old Testament mind frame. But in Psalm 22, David is the author of the psalm. And look at what he says. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." There's three things I want you to see in that small passage of Scripture. The first thing that he says is, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Deacons, pastor, listen to me for a moment. If you don't show up to the house of God, don't expect anybody else to either. This is God's house. It is the most exciting place that we go to every week. And if it's not the most exciting place that you go to as leaders in this church, then you ought to find something else to do. Because this is where it ought to be happening every week. If any one of you had tickets to your favorite football team, and you had 50 tickets to give away, you would run up and down the street. You would tell everybody that you could find, I've got tickets to the Ohio State game. I know one of them is a big Ohio State fan. I've got tickets to the Ohio State game. And you would say, come and go with me. And you would be excited about it. He's wanting them now. I don't have them, man. I wish I did. If I did, I'd take you. We would be excited and we would tell everybody and we would invite everybody to come. And there would be an excitement coming out of us. That ought to be the excitement that you have when you come to the church. It's no wonder folk don't want to come to church anymore. We look like a bunch of dead people when we come to church. We come to church with long faces. We talk with these long, I call this a deacon's voice. You guys got to get this now if you're going to be deacons. It's one of these low down voices. We have come here to worship the Lord. And you've got to be able to speak in that terminology if you're going to be a deacon, you see. Because you got to be sad when you come to the house of God. You got to come in with a long face. You got to be miserable when you get here so you can be miserable whenever you leave. But I'm telling you right now, this ought to be the house of joy. It ought to be a place where we come because we are excited about being in the presence of a holy, living God. And it's a place where we ought to honor and respect because this is the most important building in our world today. Now, I hear people tell me all the time that the building is not the church. It is the people that is in it. But let me tell you something. This building is vital. It is important in our society because this is the place that we have chosen to gather together to meet our God. That makes it important. And we ought to acknowledge that. And if the leaders are not willing to acknowledge it, don't expect other folks to. But when your leaders acknowledge it, you people listen to me for a moment. You ought to be here also and you ought to be excited about coming into the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Isn't that marvelous? David wasn't excited about going there by himself. He wanted somebody to go with him. I am so thankful for Sunday night services. I'm disappointed a lot of times when I get there because people just don't come out on Sunday night. You can't get people out on Sunday night anymore. They're too busy running around doing everything else. Too busy sitting home watching television. Too busy running to Walmart. Too busy running to ball games. Everything else has become more important than Sunday night worship. But let me tell you something. I'm glad that we have Sunday night service. If we had not had Sunday night service in the home church where I grew up, I might not be in the church today. Because you see, it was one Saturday afternoon when some folk came by the house. A couple of men from that church just walking by. My dad and I was out working on the porch. I don't even remember what we were doing, but I remember these two guys coming by. This one guy came over and said, Boyd, my dad's name was Boyd. He said, Boyd, we'd like to see you in church sometime. And I remember my dad's response, oh, well, maybe I'll come sometime. Well, now, to me, translated to me, that meant get out of here, leave us alone, we ain't coming, and we don't intend to come. But my dad didn't have that idea. Because on Sunday afternoon, I was getting all ready to watch the ball game as we did every Sunday afternoon. I mean, I was kicking back and I was relaxed and I was ready and my dad walked in. And my dad, by the way, was a dictator. And he walked in and he said, we're going to church tonight. Now, folks, that wasn't up for a vote in that house. I grew up in the wrong generation. I really did because, you see, today I could have looked around and said, now, Pop, I'm not going tonight. I just don't think we need to go. And we would have had a vote on it. My dad didn't vote on nothing. He was a dictator. I'm telling you, I'm serious. Jan sometimes, she'll tell you, he was a dictator and he thought everybody ought to obey him whenever he spoke, especially his kids. And he walked in and said, we're going to church. That simply meant this. I'm the head of this house and we're going to church tonight, whether you like it or not. Get up, get ready. And we went to church that night. And that night I heard the gospel, not for the first time in my life, because I'd been in Bible school. I'd been at church on Easter and Sunday a few times in my life. But on that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He not only spoke to my heart, He spoke to my dad's heart. He spoke to my mother's heart. He spoke to two of my sisters' heart. And He spoke to my heart. And He changed the life of a family. He changed a home that night, because Sunday night worship was important to somebody at some time in the world. You listen to me for a moment. You just heard a testimony. If you'd not had Sunday night worship, that man might not be in the church tonight. You see, I was glad when somebody came by and said, "Boyd, we'd sure like for you to come to church sometime." Because they weren't happy with being there by themselves. You deacons, listen to me for a moment. Pastor, you too. You're the leadership of this church. And if you do not invite people to come to this church, don't you expect anybody else to do it. You're the leaders. You ought to bring somebody with you. You ought to have somebody on your heart right now that you're praying for intensively, that God might stir their heart and bring them into the house of God. Bring them with you. And you need to look at them and say, "I'm going to church. You want to go with me?" I love to hear Mark Lowry talking. And one of the things he talks about is when he was growing up, he was being drugged to church all the time. And he said, "I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday night. And if the priest was going to wash the windows on Thursday, I was drugged there to fill the pew so we could watch him." Folks, listen to me. When these doors are open, leaders, you are responsible for being in the house of God. You made a commitment to this church. You made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you made a commitment to be here and represent Christ in this place. And you have no right to expect anybody else to come if you're not. But you listen to me for a moment. You have an obligation that was just read under the commission of Christ that you go out and bring somebody with you. And when folk around here start seeing you bring somebody, they're going to get all excited about it and they're going to start bringing somebody too. Because you see, that is contagious. You see, David says, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord that we might worship Him.'" We have come to this place to worship the Lord, to lift Him up on high. Folks, that's the only reason that we're here, that we might worship Him, that the Word of God might be read, the Word of God might be proclaimed, the Word of God might be taught, that God might be lifted up on His throne, that we may see Him high and lifted up in all of His glory. That's what Sunday is all about. And when we come, we got to have the right attitude, he says. And he goes on and says in verse 3, "Jerusalem is built as a city is compact together." He says that we need to have unity in the church. Leadership, listen to me for a moment. Your job is not to bring disunity to the church, but bring unity to the church. To bring that body together. To strengthen that body as one. And the church ought to be unified together in the work that we're doing and the things that's going on in our society. Also, it is a place where the tribes go up. And the tribes of the Lord. You see, he says it's a place where everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome in the church. And if everybody is not welcome in the church, nobody should be welcome. Leaders, you're the one responsible to see to it that everybody is welcome in the church. To the testimony of Israel. Worship is a time that we ought to be giving testimony. Not about what He did 50 years ago in our lives, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, but what He did this past week. Here's how God used me this past week. Here's what God did in my life this past week. Somebody said, "Well, now, preacher, if we have a testimony time, you know, we'll be there all day." You understand that, don't you? And we just don't want to be there all day. I thought this was the day of the Lord. I really did. I was so ignorant when I was young and growing up, I thought this was the day of the Lord. I'm still kind of dumb and ignorant because I still think it is. And I don't see Him saying in here, "You're to give thanks to the Lord under 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, shut her down, Bubba. Now when you find it, show it to me." Y'all already know I'm going over 12 o'clock, so don't get all hyper on me. You knew that before I got up here. It's a time to give testimony. It is also a time when we give thanks unto God. You see, this ought to be a time when we stand up and, man, we say, this is what God did. Here's what God did in my life. He let me lead this person to Christ this week. And it ought to be the most exciting time that there is. And we ought to be in thanksgiving to God. You know, we prayed for this person over here that had cancer. And they went to the doctor and the cancer was gone. We ought to give praise to God for what He's doing. But the fact is, we're afraid to stand up and say we want to thank God for this. Man, we ought to give praise and thanks unto God for all that He does in our lives. And the worship is a time that we can do that. Now, I want you to catch this. You that are deacons and pastor, I want you to see this particularly. Verse 5. For the thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. You that are coming on the deacon body. You that are on the deacon body. You, brother pastor, will be held in judgment for how you conduct those offices. You will stand before an almighty God and give an account. I've had the privilege of being ordained as a deacon. I'll never forget the man that was speaking at my deacon ordination. Looked straight at me that day and said, brother, you are accountable for everything you do from this day forward under a holy God because you now represent Him as a deacon in a church. Whoa! That's scary. Because I'm not just accountable to a church, I'm accountable to the Lord. When I was ordained into the gospel ministry, I remembered what that man said. That I'm accountable to an almighty God for the use of His gift. When I was commissioned to go to the foreign field, I was reminded that I'm accountable to an almighty God. I will stand in judgment for that which I did and that which I do. When I was commissioned to be a home missionary, I came to realize again, I am accountable unto a holy God for the responsibility that God has placed upon me as a servant. And my friend, you are accountable to a holy God for what you do as deacons. But now, at least the rest of you sit back there and say, well, we're not deacons, so we get to slide by. You're responsible to the holy God to live exactly how you expect these folks to live. And to be exactly what you expect these folks to be. Because you're responsible to them and to God. And you will be judged for every idle word that you say against the leadership of the church. Well, we're to come to worship. We're to have the right attitude of worship, but folks, we're to pray. Look at what he says in verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. My friends, if I can stress anything to the deacons of this church and to the pastor, teach the people to pray. Pray for Fort Wayne. That's what he's saying. Pray for Fort Wayne. Pray that we will get godly leadership in Fort Wayne. Pray for Fort Wayne that businesses will come here and there'll be more jobs for the people and the people will prosper in Fort Wayne. Isn't that a unique idea in our world today? Pray for the areas surrounding the church. Pray for this city. Pray for our state. Pray for our nation. You see, you as leaders need to be calling people to prayer. They don't need to be calling you to prayer. You ought to lead the way. Pray for the nation. Secondly, he says, pray for peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Pray for those inside the church. Pray that the church might prosper. Somebody told me one day, said, preacher, you shouldn't tell people to pray for the prosperity of the church because that's not biblical. Well, it don't bother me a bit to tell you to pray for the prosperity of the church. I think you ought to be praying for it. I think we, every one, ought to unite together and pray for nothing but the prosperity of this church. Now, let me show you the biblical ideal of prosperity before you get all excited over that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, I'm not going to wait for you to get there, so don't bother turning. You can read it when you get home. Write these things down. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls was added to them. On over now in chapter 4, verse 4 of the book of Acts. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. On over in chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women coming to the Lord. Therein is the prosperity of a church that we need to be praying for. Notice he didn't say anything about buildings. He didn't say anything about finances. He didn't say anything about growth. What he said was, we need to be praying for those to come to Christ and be added to the church, that we might glorify Jesus for the changed lives that are coming into his holy presence. That's the prosperity of the church. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Pray for peace within the body. Pray for one another. I think most of our churches do a great job at praying for one another inside the church. We pray for every little illness. We pray for the sick. We pray for the hurt feet, the hurt toes. We pray for all those things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying we do a great job at that. But why aren't we praying for the salvation of people, like we pray for the physical illness of people? We need to be praying for the salvation of people, for the people that are really lost, for those that are sin sick. We need to be praying for the Spirit of God to pour out on them and draw them under the kingdom of God, that their life might be changed for the glory of the Savior, in whose presence we stand. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Because of the house of God is in this place right here, that we have had the privilege to come and to meet in, we will look for the good of our God in this place. My friends, you that are being set aside as deacons, and you that are deacons, and you, brother pastor, are responsible for the leadership of this church. God's word has told you exactly how to do the leadership of the church. My friends, you that are not deacons and you that are not pastors, you have a greater responsibility of following your leadership. You have a responsibility of being present. You have a responsibility of being faithful. You have a responsibility to walk in a holy manner with a holy God. And as we worship Him, let us worship Him in gladness of heart, that we have opportunity to come into His divine presence. Heavenly Father, touch us now, as only you can, by the power of your Holy Spirit, bring victory into our lives. We commit this time now to your will, to your kingdom and purpose, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.